Here we go. It's our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Oxnard, California, and we're locked and loaded here. Five-hour shows all week long, followed by Fred and Blake Fan After Dark coming up at 7 o'clock. Our training camp coverage brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar General at your service. If you see me, bear me, N.A. Brian Broaddus is here on the tennis courts. Before too long, he'll be down on the fields as they're about to have their second consecutive padded practice, and he'll have all the details for you. We'll go three live mic style, brought to you by the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Lucius Alexander is back home in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and fits you, fix it to go five flawless. And, of course, Woolchuck and Chia follower here. Carter Freeman is here, and Tim Collins, the office ace, doing some remote engineering and producing for us here at Training Camp 2025. Brian, hell of a job last week, man. Great to finally join you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's nice to have you guys out here as a part of this. It's been a really competitive camp, and I mean that from the way of not one side of the ball is clearly taking advantage of the other. There might be a play that the offense wins, and then the very next play, you get Maris Leofeld punching the ball out of someone's hands and defense makes a play. So I think what you guys are going to experience here with this padded practice, and it was a good one yesterday, is that there is going to be an element of physicality to this team. That's what Brian Schottenheimer is trying to do with his offense. Heavy personnel, big tight ends, moving offensive tackles in position, using Hunter Lipke, and then also you'll see with your own eyes the guys like Miles Sanders running the ball and then with Jadon Blue as well.
Shotty saying at the presser about an hour ago, we're going to run the damn ball.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. You think Lipke's getting involved as an extra blocker in the run game?
Absolutely. I know that we've talked about this a lot, is that we think this is going to be a power gap scheme. When we talk about power gap scheme, it is that hip to hip, it's push, get to somebody's second level, and then let these backs make cuts. I think it's going to be some elements of what we see with the 49ers, what you see with Kyle Juszczyk, with a motion and then getting bodies at the – this is why I think it's so big. If you look at the 49ers, the 49ers are a really good wide receiver run-blocking team.
Yes.
That's why they have so many successful chunk plays that way. I think he's taken some elements from that San Francisco scheme and bringing it over to his football
team. I love that, dude. The advantages you can create when you're moving the fullback like that, like just the different angles and the leverage that it creates. It's just a split second, and boom, that defender's out of the way, and we're on and running. Mingo's a guy that is definitely a willing blocker. That's good.
They work on this on drills. I was over with the wide receivers yesterday, and it is a throw the ball to one guy and then the second guy go block.
Yeah.
And that is a very big point of emphasis for these guys.
You saw a play where CeeDee Lamb, before we got out here last week, CeeDee Lamb's running down the field and Pickens is out there kind of leading the charge from a blocking standpoint. So that's huge, man. All those guys working together. We talk about run defense, all 11. The offense, same thing.
No yeah, doubt. Well, the thing too, and like I say, in everybody's kind of going, well, man, offense, you guys are talking about offense. I'll tell you, the defense has been, there's been times, so Solomon Thomas yesterday, you know, in playing run defense. Perrion Winfrey has been playing some run defense. We've seen Maris Leofeld, I mentioned him early, takes on Williams in the hole. It hasn't been just all offense. I mean, there have been some good defensive stands that they've been able to make. But I was super impressed with Solomon Thomas. There was a time yesterday where he was able to beat Booker into the backfield, tackle for loss. There was another time where he was able, they try and block back on him with BB, and he's up the field before BB can cut him off, and he's making another tackle for loss. So the defense is having their share. It's been a really back and forth. You know, I can't stress that enough. We immediately think of, because we're watching clips and we're seeing, oh, this team's just getting their ass kicked this one way. You know, there's maybe two, three plays that you don't see where it's kind of flipped the other way.
We've seen the takeaways, but it's more than that for the defense.
I'll tell you what, when you got guys like Booth making coverage plays against, you know, against a Tolbert or against a Pickens, or, you know, they've had some really good pressures. They've taken advantage of some blitz stuff that they've done. For not having Micah Parsons in there, when this is really without Sam Williams. Mm-hmm. I was on with DallasCowboys.com this morning on the break. Me, Vach Lombardi, were talking about it, and it's like this has been a team that's rushed the passer really without the benefit of Sam Williams. it has been a little bit of Sam Williams trying to kind of catch up to what Fowler and Ezeraco and Nealon have been able to do. And that's with no Micah Parsons.
That's what I was wondering. I was going to ask you about Sam Williams because a lot of people are excited about him. But when I watched the reps he had against Tyler Guyton, I thought they were some of Tyler Guyton's best reps.
Oh, no, it has been. Yeah, Sam is not. And this is another thing that we've talked about again this morning about was give me the player that you had very high expectations for, but through five practices is kind of like, maybe need a little bit of a reset there. Sam Williams was my guy. I had and it's super unfair for me to say that for a guy coming off a knee injury.
Sure.
But my expectations of him were like he had a year to get himself going and all, and here we are. And then we saw him a little bit at the OTAs, that burst coming off the ball. But he's been a little bit of a struggle. His pad level hasn't been really great. He hasn't been able to capture the edge like we've seen Sam Williams do in the past. The other guys they mentioned are ahead of him right now as pass rushers.
We're going to have George Pickens sit down right here in about an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes or so after practice. We'll talk with GP, pick his brain about his experience so far with the Cowboys and what he's hoping to accomplish here in 2025. Some injuries coming out of the weekend. Injury report brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They've got you covered when the hits keep coming. And the first one was Rob Jones, and this is the worst one, right? 2 to 3 months. So at least missing 1 month of the season, maybe two. The backup guard that was running with the ones a little bit over the weekend when Booker slid back with the twos.
Yeah, this is when your pro department goes and finds a guy that has made NFL starts. Maybe gotten a little bit, his play had gotten a little sloppy. Maybe his play had not been as good as it once was. He gets a new opportunity, and yes, the other day they put him in with running with the ones. They gave Booker a little bit of a reset on what he was doing, but Jones was a guy yesterday. He got hurt on a play where they've been running this counter action where they've been pulling guys, and he was the lead blocker with the tackle behind him. So this counter action, he gets there's a collision. He hurts his neck. He breaks a bone in it. Mm. Finished the practice, but here we are right now. He's going to be out likely for, a little bit of
2 to 3 months.
Yeah, a little portion of the season for you.
Well, maybe it'll work out and he'll come back right when you need him, or maybe you don't need him at all, but that is some quality depth.
Yes.
I think
veteran depth that he's made starts before. Absolutely.
Looks to be a couple of weeks then with the tight end Brevin Span Ford, who rolled his ankle and didn't quite have as good a luck as Terrence Steele.
Yeah, his ankle was Hunter Lipke fell in the back of his legs. And it's, to be honest with you, Dawson, it's lucky that he didn't break his ankle or blow out his knee.
Yeah, when you fall backwards like that at that size.
Yeah, Hunter got thrown right into the back of his legs. I was told there was going to be the MRI yesterday. We'll see if we can get some information later today, but this thing might be a couple of weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, I'd say.
Does the Jake Ferguson contract from the weekend get thumbs up from all you boys?
I was excited about it. I mean, I've been a big-time Ferguson supporter. I can understand some fans that are like, well, come on. He's really had one good year. He's coming off a poor season where, injuries impacted that. But now you're just going to go ahead and pay him. I mean, he's the seventh highest paid tight end right now, 13 APY. You've got some other really good tight ends that are going to end up getting paid here soon in Sam Laporta, Brock Bowers. That's probably just going to be a blank
check. I mean, the top's 19.
He's right behind David Njoku. And this is one where you're not paying for pass production. You're paying for, we look at a guy that could have a tremendous season. And I agree. I think Jake Ferguson is a guy that can get himself into that fringe 5 to 10 category of best tight ends in the league. And that's about where the price range is. So I was all in on this one. I enjoyed this signing.
Yeah, this has got a little bit of a Jalen Smith vibe to it, if you want to know when the signing came down. He jumps in there when others are kind of maybe ahead of him on some maybe a priority. I don't think that we thought that Jake Ferguson's contract was going to be the first one that was going to get done out of Bland and Micah Parsons and guys like that. I think this has got that. Remember with the Zeke's contract was kind of like, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, we're open for business. What did Jalen Smith do? He jumped in there. I'm always saying it, the jumped in part. I think Ferguson's a much better player. I just think Ferguson had an idea that, like, listen, they're interested. As long as I'm not resetting the market or being the highest paid guy, there's a chance I can get this and get some money out of this. And B, because there's going to be a point in time where the money is going to dry up. And, but he was first in. Had a deal he's comfortable with, and they've got him done. And you know, he's looked good these last five practices.
And there's a special energy and sort of violence and aggression that he plays with that is important. And
it's
you can
reckless.
Tell Schottenheimer and these yeah. guys are sort of preaching that. And yeah. so this is a guy that I think is, from just like a personality standpoint, somebody that you want. And, I mean, he would be on the short list of guys that I think are going to be most benefiting from the Pickens addition. Obviously a healthy Dak, I think Ferguson should have a really big year. The yeah. only way this really becomes a downside is if the injuries that we saw from last year all of a sudden become, okay, he's yeah. Mr. Concussion guy and he's Mr. I got a knee issue
well,
thing.
The knee and the concussions, sure. yeah, that robbed him of any kind of productivity that he had last year.
Yeah, but not a bad contract. I think 2 years and an extra $5 million guaranteed of it. You know, it's right around $30 million guaranteed, so it's not one that's going to be an anchor for you. But I think just what you said, the violence and the aggression that he plays with and goes attacks that football, there aren't a lot of guys around the NFL that can give you that element of a guy that's going to stick his nose in and have the hands to secure the catch. And it's two-thirds of the top. I feel like he's more than 65% of McBride or Kittle. I think he gives you a lot of stuff. And what you said right there, like Kittle and Lamb, if they put them wide, yeah. as much cover two as we see in the league with the safeties going wide, there should be seven or eight touchdowns in the middle there.
Yeah.
And some 40-yard catches and runs.
Yeah, he should be able to feast.
Or seven and eight interceptions if Joe Milton's throwing the ball.
Oh, no.
Because Joe Milton will throw the ball down the middle. I mean, he did throw in the span forward that was a beautiful pass. But Joe Milton is like, he is like, okay, I'm going to take this seam shot, and it's usually short. And then that's way with Hooker or somebody like that looks really good catching the ball.
Man, I love Cowboys TikTok because it is just the worst rumor-mongering BS you can find. So on the flight over here, I get the in-flight Wi-Fi and I bring up the Cowboys, and it's just like one video after another yeah. of that fake AI voice saying, Joe Milton could be the Dak Prescott replacement, and who's going to be the starter? And it's just like people are eating it up in the comments. Hundreds of wow. thousands of likes and all the engagement, just well, complete BS. It's tabloid coverage.
Joe needs to figure out when they put Turpin in the backfield and they run a play where he goes hard to the flat to the right and they run two picks behind in front of it, that he needs to throw the ball over there and not to somebody else. Specifically, I think that, you know, it's not often we see Turpin playing running back, and then Turpin after the play is jumping up and down like, what are you doing?
Look at me! Yeah. Look at me!
And Milton didn't even look at him, and I'm thinking, well, that's kind of unusual that all of a sudden you set up a play where you run two picks inside and have a back to the flat and you don't even throw him the ball. But Joe's going to throw the ball where he wants to throw the ball.
You know, he's a tremendous player, tremendous guy. You know, he's just trying to take the next step to be an NFL-caliber quarterback. And I think Joe Milton is his own worst enemy. Because
I don't think he sees the field particularly well either.
But he wants to.
He wants no. It's
he wants to be Peyton Manning.
He wants to be. He wants to be.
He does.
He's going to sling it.
I'll tell he's you, like, I'm not a runner.
If you had to win, and I think Bobby Belt said this last night when we were all riding over to the rudder room. Bobby said, I think the Cowboys, if they had to go win one game, that they would probably go with
Greer. But if it's like a season ender,
they would go with Milton. They would go with Milton. I
think that's fair.
I didn't want to believe him. But I was thinking, like, you know, he's not wrong. He's probably after watching Joe is wheels off. I mean,
I'm so excited to watch.
Oh, no, he is crazy in a way that you're like going, like, he can make like a lot of plays, and he could also just turn the ball over probably four times in a practice.
Let me ask you this, the early returns of seeing him in, you know, at training camp.
Yeah.
Already much better than Trey Lance.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but, well, I'll tell you what he does that Trey Lance, Joe runs around a lot in a practice. You know, you practice, you're not – he scrambles way too much for me, you know. Like, I think that's what I'm saying. You know, there's been times where they've had to re-huddle, and Joe's been the quarterback, you know. And it's not always – you know, it's always not Jaden Blue lining up in the wrong spot. It's like, oh, wait, I have to – oh.
It's Joe, quarterback.
I forgot to send a guy in motion. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, that kind of thing.
It can be a lot. Hey, yeah. We were talking about Christian Wilkins in the crosstalk earlier, and I mentioned the splits thing that he did at Clemson as to one of the things, as like reading the tea leaves, that maybe this was a guy who's a little out there. I would like to rescind that because I just saw a video of Donovan Ezeraku
doing the splits.
Doing the splits. There was a lot more masculinity, and it felt like higher T levels.
A lot of talent in that body.
A lot of talent in that body, and I would just like to say, let's rescind that from the court of what I said about the splits.
Wait till you see the...
I don't think Donovan Ezeraku is let me kiss you on the forehead guy.
Yeah. Wait till you see Joe Milton
or
do
backflip. Let me tickle your toesies guy.
Yeah.
There's some funny stuff coming out here on Wilkins. I hope we can get to the bottom of this. There's got to be like a Seth Wickersham piece coming about this, right?
Donovan,
the bottom of this, please?
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, Pablo finds out. Oh, dude, I guarantee this will be a Pablo finds out episode. Oh. He will find out whose butt got touched.
Man, they're going to show him and be like, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And Wilkins is going to be like, all right, man. It's my kind of story. G-Bag of the Day champion on the other side. Top 10 at 220. Well, Chuck, what's in store as we wait for team to start out there on the practice fields?
Well, we did have Happy Gilmore 2 come out over the weekend. Did you see it? 877-881-1053. The best movie sequels. That's next in the nation.
All right. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Just got some interesting news as Bobby Belt from Sean and RJ swinging by the broadcast position here as they're stretching, warming up, getting ready for practice. We got the champ here in 2 seconds, then Woolchuck's top 10, and then we'll be out there on the field giving you the coverage segment here brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We'll get this Cowboys note in just a second, but let's go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has the champ.
Yeah, G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan 530. Replay the champ right about here. You called it, lucky you. At Lucky Lucius P is where you need to hit me up if you see anything floating out there. Day number 4 for this champion audio. Let's go to SEC Media Day. Reporter Savannah Avery from KOMU. She asked Missouri Tiger Zion Young a very interesting question about alpha males.
You guys kept throwing around the term like alpha males in your locker room and within your team. Is that a thing, or can you elaborate a little bit more on that and what that means?
This is a quick. Would you rather date if you were in a let's see, I'm gonna do an animal example.
All right.
If you're in a tiger, would you want to date a cat?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to date a cat. You wouldn't want to. But of course, it's tigers. A cat. It's a bigger version of it. It's the cat. You know, it's all around the stuff. But you don't want to date a cat, though. Not something we bring. Nah, you know what I mean. So
that's
the difference. Like, it's more so of like not in day. I mean, alpha male. Like who? That's what we're recruiting. That's what we're standing on. Guys is alpha males. Guys is where their feet at. And guys is very vocal and want to compete, you know, and have an edge on them. You know what I mean? So that's more so being specific. You know what I mean? You wouldn't want to date
very specific.
A cat. You would rather date another tiger, right? Or a lion, something more manly.
Very concise definition.
Incredible.
I'd love it if you looked up in Webster's Dictionary what an alpha male meant and had that in there. That's something. See if dude can make it 4 in his pursuit of 5 in G-Bag Nation immortality tonight at 5:30 here in the G-Bag Nation right before you get to L.A. Live. Before we get to Wooly's top 10, let's bring in Bobby Bell, buddy. What's happening down there?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, I was just walking around the practice field, and it is of note. We heard the opening press conference where you know, they said, well, have you thought about getting anything done with Tyler Smith? And Stephen Jones said, what makes you think we haven't been talking to Tyler Smith?
Yeah.
You know, we just generally don't talk about our business in front of everywhere. Well, out there on the practice field today is Joe Panos, who is the agent
yeah.
for Tyler Smith. And Joe has a history of getting training camp deals done with the Cowboys and getting stuff done in a similar fashion. We talked about earlier on the Fan today the idea of the Jake Ferguson deal can look sort of like the Jalen Smith one. And then we said, you know, the Jalen Smith deal got done and the Lyle Collins deal got done. This could be that Lyle Collins piece too, potentially. And that was another player that Joe Panos represented and got his deal done while they were trying to get others done. And
ooh.
So I think that they're open for business and willing, and it's at least of note and interesting that he's out here today hanging out and seems to be chumming it up with a lot of the Dallas brass.
And looking at the Osa deal and the Ferguson deal, if you're willing to take like somewhere between 20 and 40% under market value, you can get a deal done quite early with these Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if you're going to offer me a massive discount, I'll sign checks all day long. So, but no, I think this is one where I would normally think this one would cost you more, that this one you'd have to pay closer to the top of the market. But, I mean, they signed a very team-friendly deal with Tyron Smith when he got that done. Lyle Collins' deal was pretty team-friendly when he signed it. And so, I mean, they've worked out friendly deals before with the same agent, so it might be hand meet glove.
Yeah, and that would be great news
hand
to get
love.
Tyler Smith done
hand
early.
Glove.
Hand it meet. Is a saying, Zach. Dear God.
I mean, Tyron Smith might have been.
We're gloving.
I don't know what you thought I was saying when you thought it was hand meet love.
I thought you said hand meet
love. That might be a Christian Wilkins situation.
That's M-E-A-T.
Smooches.
Thanks, Bobby. See you down there.
See ya.
Time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 2:20. Here he is, the Woolly Bully.
Thank you. Happy Gilmore 2 and all the cameos came out on Friday. I got the top 10 This Is Best Comedy Sequels. These are specifically comedies, 877-881-1053. Also, just piggybacking off of that Tyler Smith conversation, Trey Smith just got the bag from Kansas City. He's currently the highest paid guard in the league, $23,500. Number two would be Landon Dickerson.
Thousand? Talk about
million,
team friendly.
Million. Landon
very
Dickerson,
team friendly.
$21 million. And then Chris Lindstrom at $20 million. So, I don't know. Can you get anywhere from 20 to 23 and a half so you don't come in as the highest paid? Maybe that's what the Cowboys are looking at.
I mean, maybe they're looking at it like, well, if we wait 2 years, it'll probably be 30. So, yeah. Man, here's a novel idea.
You're
what if we do it right now?
Starting to pay these guards as we're all talking about right now. So, you know, hey, give them a little credit if they're kind of getting ahead of this.
I love it. That'd be, that's the guy that you absolutely should get ahead of. Yeah. Tyler Smith's one of the best in his position. That dude has earned his money. He absolutely deserves that. That would be a blessing to not have to worry about that next year because that would be the carryover. Micah is also out here not practicing, though, today. So that hold-in continues. Maybe it's still the back, Brian. Could still be just a little bit of a tweak there.
LOL.
Who knows? Maybe it's like Terry McLaurin's ankle that's going down in Washington.
Yeah.
Did you guys end up watching Happy Gilmore Tornado? Eric and I, did you end up finishing it?
I wasn't able to finish it because I watched it Saturday night a little bit late and fell asleep probably halfway through, which is not an indictment on the movie. I thought the first 25, 30 minutes were really freaking funny, dude.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't love it. I thought the storyline overall was pretty ridiculous.
The same.
But it had some good moments, and I thought some of the cameos were really good. Like, I thought Scottie Scheffler was fantastic. Will Zalatoris was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Will,
Eminem's moment was great.
Boban.
Yeah, Boban was in it.
Actually, when he's actually doing the waiter stuff or whatever, Travis Kelce, I thought was really strong with the Bad Bunny combo.
Bad Bunny, I actually thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked
that. That was
Bad Bunny?
Yes. Huh. Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That was him.
I don't think I've ever seen him.
Well, he doesn't usually look like that.
Okay.
He was definitely.
I didn't know it was him while watching it either until I went back and looked at all the list of everybody that was in it. I was like, damn. And Bad Bunny, I mean, that was one of the main roles in the entire film.
That was like the main reason my wife was down to watch it. I was like, I think Bad Bunny's in it. She was like, oh.
Sign me up.
And I was like, all right.
I enjoyed it, you know, and I think the reason I enjoyed it is just because I totally love just everything about Happy Gilmore, and it was just like backstory, you know. It was what happens next. And if all I got was a printout of, hey, here's how Happy Gilmore's life had gone, I would have read that and enjoyed it too. You know, I think I'm just such a big fan of that however crappy the punchlines were, however silly it got, it was totally fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go in with expectations of this is not going to be the original, right? And or come anywhere close to it, because that's one of the all-timers, for sure.
His sons were over the top, you know.
Oh, they were funny.
I didn't think you had to do what you did with Mom, you know.
That, I was floored.
Why?
But that's how that opened up.
Shooter's character is great, though.
Shooter was good.
Oh, my gosh, dude. He is amazing.
Shooter was funny. And, yeah, John Daly's character I thought was also glorious. And I mean, the whole scene where they go back and you've got everybody else, like Masters Dinner-esque is what they were going for, I think. And,
yeah.
I mean, some of the old classic golfers. Yeah, I mean, it had some really strong moments. It was about what I expected because I didn't think it was going to do anything in terms of living up to the original.
No.
But if you like the original, you'll probably come away from Happy Gilmore 2 and saying, like, it was solid.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Sandler was born for the 90s, where you were kind of in a Beavis and Butthead, Saturday Night Live comedic world. You know what I'm saying? And that has totally changed.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the top 10 best comedy sequels of all time. 877-881-1053. Spider-Man 2 is being texted from the 903. Not a comedy, but an outstanding sequel. And I believe we're getting this re-released in theaters. Tim Collins, oh, you're not aware of this. We are. We're going to get a re-release of Spider-Man 2.
How many Spider-Mans?
Is that the Tobey Maguire one?
That's the Tobey Maguire
one. He is a joke of a Spider-Man. There is actually some comedy in there.
Yeah, well, the Spider-Man 3 was definitely a comedy when he's doing his whole emo dance.
Who decides this? Who decides this if we keep releasing these Spider-Man shows?
You know, I think as long as they make money, we're going to keep doing them.
All right.
And right now, they've been pretty good with Tom Holland.
Okay.
I think we're going 2027, by the way, for the next Spider-Verse with Miles.
Oh, they keep
pushing it back.
That
they had to redo
the best
it.
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
right
I really like that
Morales.
One.
That is fantastic. We got Rush Hour 2 being texted in. Cheech and Chong. Ted 2 is better
than
Ted
1. That's from my era. Cheech and Chong is from my era.
Scary Movie 2 getting texted in here. Number 10 on this list is Austin Powers and Goldmember.
Goldmember.
Probably put both of them on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think both of them are outstanding sequels.
Agreed. I don't know if I've seen any of the movies that you're going to list.
None of them.
I've not seen Goldmember.
There's a couple that I have not seen. Number 9, and I know this is one of the favorites from Brian over here, it's Muppets Take Manhattan. 1984, just a classic, directed by Frank Oz. And you and Frank go way back.
Me and Frank, we are way
back. Drinking buddies back in the day.
Oh, back in the day. We were at Toot Shorn's place in New York drinking a lot.
I probably saw that one, like Young Dawson.
You loved it.
You know, we're gonna do this for the kids. That seems like a total 80s parents thing to bring home on VHS.
How about 22 Jump Street?
I haven't seen that.
Coming in at number 8, you definitely saw.
No, I definitely saw.
I'm looking at you over there, Eric. I know you.
I'm
saw
trying
it.
To like have a take for it. I can't remember how much I liked it. Well, I think of the first one. I don't think much of the second one.
I think. I think it got really good reviews, though.
The second one, I think, had Jonah Hill with the Walk of Shame.
Oh.
That was a good scene. Channing Tatum's character was playing football.
Yes.
That's the Christian Wilkins 22 Hump Street.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That'll be in a theater near you.
All 22 dudes on the field.
7 is Anchorman 2. The legend
continues. That's the all 22 he wants.
Jeez. Anchorman, huh?
Yeah. Anchorman 2.
American Pie.
I don't think I saw that. Didn't see
Friday,
that. Saw that. There we go.
Friday.
Yeah.
Hangover 2, getting texted in. Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. Hell,
saw that.
That might be number one.
Is Hangover 2 when they went to Bangkok?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets the Tyson tat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call it Bang Condom.
No. Once you go Bangkok, you don't go
amazing.
Back.
Just amazing.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
I saw
6.
That. I saw that one.
There we go.
I saw that. That was okay.
Would you put it in the top 10 comedy sequels of all time?
Yeah.
It's just maybe. So tough to have a. It's hard to duplicate it's a great comedy.
They tried to bring all the guys back, you know, and it was. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was particularly great, but
number 5, and I have not seen this film, Hot Shots Part 2.
That's with Charlie Sheen, right?
Yes. I have not seen this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put it on.
It's
the
like
list.
It's a Rambo spoof.
1993. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
They did a parody of Top Gun, and then they did a parody of Rambo.
Yeah.
Number 4, Wayne's World 2.
That was good.
Which I think they're rebooting. I don't know how I feel about this.
Really?
Yeah, I saw a little something out there in the interwebs.
Mike Myers and Dana Carvey together are usually pretty good.
They are good. Hopefully it's them, and they're not trying to like recast this.
I don't think they've been together since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, though. This, you know, you never know how the chemistry is going to...
Maybe that's exactly what we need. Wayne's World 4, whatever we're doing now.
They party
third,
on.
They make a third one?
Yeah, this could
party
be
on
the...
Wayne, party on, Garth.
This could Schwing. Be exactly what the Cowboys need.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey coming in at number 3.
This wasn't the one with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Was this... Keanu was in this?
Well, The Excellent Adventure was the first one.
Ted's Keanu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe... There was like another one, I think, where they were in it, and it wasn't the same guys, I believe.
I loved the first one, man.
Yeah, first one was really good.
Nerds 2 being texted in, Revenge of the Nerds 2. Shrek 2's got to be up there. Shrek 2's a good one. Both Hot Shots movies are parody gold. So Major League 2, shout out to Hixie. He probably texted that one, and he's still getting royalties from that. The Borat sequel comes in at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that was massive because it was pandemic and there was nothing else to watch.
That was Kazakhstan.
Oh, it was. Yes.
Vice Premier.
Mm-hmm. Mikhail Pence. But number 1. Greatest comedy sequel of all time, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Boom.
And it should be.
Yes, it absolutely should be.
Crapper's full.
Stands the test of time.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even realize that that was like an original and a sequel. I just thought it was its own deal. Yeah, but those were fantastic.
Naked
Gun,
2.5.
That and your Caddyshacks.
Yeah,
Caddyshacks. Pretty much dominated in the 80s. Thank you, Wolchuk.
My pleasure.
Top 10 at 220s in the books. Guys, we're going to have George Pickens on after practice coming up 3:15, 3:30, somewhere in there. Before too long, Brad is going to head down to the field, and they're going to be doing team.
Let's go.
And he's going to tell you about all the plays and everything happening. On the other side, I suppose if team's not started yet, we need a little best of the weekend, Chief.
Yeah, we can weekend it up. Some tales from the first 24 hours in Oxnard, California next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and we're about to go three live mics. A very eventful day at practice already, and we're just into the team session. Bobby Belt reporting last segment that Tyler Smith's agent, Joe Panos, spotted at practice down on the sidelines, talking with Steven and members of the Cowboys front office. It's time to give you three live mics, though. Brought to you by the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Thank you so much to the on-time experts for sponsoring one of my favorite segments. We used to do this way back in the day with CA, and then with CA and Jeff and Mike and all the different evolutions of the G-Bag Nation. And obviously with this one for the last 5 years, Brian Broaddus has been giving you the scout's eye, and it's all brought to you by the on-time experts. Buddy, what are you seeing down there?
Well, I'll tell you what, we are into the team period, as you mentioned, and it is the second offense that is currently running right now, and Joe Milton off the play-action pass. Nice little flip to the outside to Fant. They've been running a lot of play-action stuff. It's been a lot of under center this camp. It has been with trying to get the defense to react to the movement and then sneak tight ends out into the flat, and that one was pretty successful with Princeton Fant, and the line did a good job of holding up and giving Milton the opportunity to get the ball to the outside.
How are they doing executing this motion stuff and this attempts at deception? Is there any kinks that need to be ironed out, or would you say it's smooth?
Yeah, it's been pretty smooth, because what's happened is you get motion and then a motion and then another motion behind it. So they're actually trying to do it three different ways there. And here they're in a situation where they're going to have to re-huddle.
That was the confusion you were talking about there for Milton.
The running back, what they tried to do, Wolchuk, tell me, did they try and get Williams there on the outside, it looked like?
They did, yeah. They tried to move him. He was lined up wide left. They tried to bring him back, and evidently that's not what the coaching staff wanted. They called that dead.
Yeah, well, here they are. They're trying to use the running back wide and now bringing him all the way back to the inside. So they're just trying to get a look. The defense didn't adjust at all, so it looks like they're probably in some type of zone coverage.
And how is the defense overall adjusting to this difference in motion and this Eberflus scheme? Do you like what you're seeing so far?
It's really the first 5 days of practice, I think, like, they've done a really nice job. You haven't seen any huge just...
Oh, we got a little skirmish going on here again, boys.
Who's involved?
We got humanity.
It's, yeah, you can't really tell who's in the middle of all that.
It might have started with one of the backs who was trying to finish the play, and I think some of the offensive linemen did not take too kindly to a little cheap shot there from some of the defensive linemen. But I thought that was a good rep. Some of the defensive linemen certainly, I mean, it's the twos right now working, Gavin, but like a King Bisote, one of the defensive tackles they took out of Maryland, Brian,
yeah,
he had a good rep there getting off a block and stuffing a run.
Yeah, they've really... Gavin, where they've had success running the football has been inside. And the counter stuff that we saw yesterday was really the first time that we've seen him. We've seen a couple of toss sweeps in practices. That's been just somewhat successful. The counters were really good, but the inside zone stuff, or the inside the power stuff, has been the best way they've run the football.
I just love the idea of getting extra linemen and a fullback at the point of attack to create those, numerical advantages, two-on-ones. And you get two extra guys running to the edge like that, it increases your chances significantly. But right now I'm watching, about 8 minutes ago, apparently Kevontae Turpin laid out Tyler Smith.
he just had a catch. Turpin did, coming out of the kind of the backfield there. This is something that I noticed yesterday, and Joe Milton, we talked about, didn't throw him the ball, but that was a good little quick pass by Prescott to get the ball into Turpin's hands, and he's just so explosive when he's one-on-one on the outside.
Yeah, it seems like this coaching staff has maybe, you know, not a mandate, but a lot more curiosity and intention to get Turpin involved.
That much more than the previous regime.
Okay, what else going on down there, Chief? What's sticking out to you?
Well, Eric's over here, a little delayed draw action at Donovan Ezeraku, who almost blew up the play, but good job. I think that was Javonte Williams just fighting through there. Eric, what are you seeing here?
Yeah, I think that was actually Fowler. Fowler's rocking that 13 now.
Yeah.
Fowler comes sliding through and just went up high on him. He missed the situation there, but he read it beautifully.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They're trying to keep him off the ground, so I don't know if he was just trying to let up or what, but he saw it from the jump. Now we get a little trips action here.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of 3-by-1.
With Mingo and Tolbert.
Yeah, a lot of 3-by-1 here.
And Cropper.
And the one is Ferguson.
It's the opposite side. It would be Turpin would be on the opposite side. They went 3-by-1, and then they tried to sneak Stevens up the field, and he was wide open and just dropped the ball.
He's a little underthrown.
Yeah,
but he did. That was just a drop.
Yeah, he should have caught that football. But really good job. They went to the opposite way. They put Turpin wide. And then they had the tight end kind of sneak through. Stevens was open, and just like I say, he's got to make that play. It's an adjusting catch, but needed to make it.
What are we going to do with Stevens here? You going to take four? Seems like they're all good.
Well, the thing about it, the three tight ends have been outstanding. The Ferguson, and Spanford, and then with Schoonmaker. You know, it's not that Schoonmaker's playing poorly.
Oh.
It's just that those three guys have been really, really, really good. So this is going to be a little bit of a problem, I think, for Stevens to make this team. Nice catch by Pickens right there in the
really
middle of the field.
Really strong contested catch, going and fighting for the football right in front of Bland. Now, I do think in a real game, again, Donovan Ezeraku and some others were really all over Dak there. That might have been a sack, but Dak stepping up and delivering a strike to Pickens.
What's Pickens going to do that we haven't seen so far in Pittsburgh?
Well, I'll tell you what, yesterday wasn't a great practice for him. I mean, he had a drop that was kind of uncharacteristic of him. But I think what you're going to start to see from him is more routes across the field. He's been known kind of as a vertical player, but they're going to find ways to get him where he can get the ball on the move. He can be pretty damaging when it comes to catching the ball on the move, and they need to get him more involved with that.
So you're getting a chance to evaluate Joe Milton quite a bit here with the twos?
Yeah, Joe Milton is, you know, and this is the problem with Joe Milton is that, you know, the pocket breaks down and he runs, and he does that a little bit too much for my liking. I don't know if there's some questions about his ability to really, really see the field and read and trust what he's seeing, because there are more times than not where he will take off running with the ball when you're kind of watching, you're thinking like, well, he could have got it over to, you know, he had a guy over here, and he just takes off running. Maybe not always just kind of trust in what's going on with the offense yet.
I mean, if he's going to be a run heavy guy, I would like that. You know, do we have an answer yet on who their Wildcat quarterback's going to be?
I think it's going to be Turpin. Now, he just made a throw. Willie, did you see that one in the middle of the pocket?
Yeah, he did. He stepped
that.
Up.
Yeah.
He was able to slide because they actually brought a corner blitz, the slot corner blitz from Eberflus, and I think it was Zion Childress who ended up blitzing. Milton's able to slide, steps up in the pocket, goes right over the middle, hits him right around the 25-yard line to Flannoy. A nice catch there.
Yeah, Flannoy's been kind of quiet in this camp. He had a catch yesterday. Kind of keeping an eye on Winfrey here, on Perron Winfield. He's playing the three technique at defensive tackle, and he's done a nice job. Look how active he is right there. See, he's in the backfield right there. I mean, that's
– Oh, there's an interception.
Yeah.
Really, oh, Childress dropped it.
Childress dropped
it. That's back-to-back good plays from Zion Childress, though, that corner blitz, and then he's able to – I mean, he ran a route there better than the wide receiver who he was covering. Was that Cropper?
Yeah, it sure was. And like I said, I mentioned Winfrey. I was watching him. And he was going up against Charles, who was the right guard, and just like bam, bam, just two quick slaps, pulled the right shoulder, and was by him and was on top of Milton. So that probably would have been another one of those kinds of sacks.
You know, Brian, another competition that we haven't talked with you about a lot is the starting safety next to Malik Hooker.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's been Marquise Bell's responsibility, at least early on with the ones. Has that been the case through the first week, or are they rotating?
Yeah, Wanye Thomas has been that guy. And Wanye Thomas, I think, if you look on the sidelines, is not practicing today. So that's unfortunate for him because he's been showing pretty well. Here's Milton running the ball again. You know, he's going to – I tell you what, I mean, he doesn't like what he sees, and he's working with a group of, you know, some rookie receivers, with Holden and those guys down here. So, you know, that's a little bit of a – you know, maybe the guys are not kind of helping him in some of these things, but – He's just going to pull that ball down and run if he doesn't feel good about it.
That was Milton to Flournoy earlier, though,
yes,
over the
yes,
middle.
It was. Yeah, and it was like the pocket was disintegrating around him.
I'm seeing that now on Cowboys Twitter as it populates, and that's a hell of a throw from Milton to Flournoy.
Yeah, he could do that.
Does Ryan still have a shot here?
I tell you what, man. Ever since Pickett showed up, everybody's kind of gone down the food chain a couple of clicks, you know. So he's going to have to. Yesterday was one of the first days I really noticed him. Other than that, it's been kind of a struggle for him.
And then this screen to Turpin, dude. I mean, he is just so fast. He goes flying around that corner before defenders even have a chance to react. He's gone.
Yeah, he is. That's one of the reasons why they put him in the backfield is that he is able to do that. There's Miles Sanders on the run, just a simple little run off the left-hand side there. That's at Mozzie Smith, but that's going behind.
Holy.
That's
going, Tyler Smith.
That's going behind Tyler
and
Smith.
And Tyler just picked up and drove Mozzie into the ground on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, at running back, how would you stack it right now? You know, on social media, it just looks like Blue has more shiftiness and juice
and Sanders
electricity.
Sanders is involved, too. Sanders, I mean, Blue has really, really been really good. But Sanders has shown, I think if you had the two guys with the most explosiveness has been Sanders and then Blue. Nice pickup there, by the way, too.
That was a beautiful – so that was a nice play where you're able to get Turpin matched up on Sanborn.
Yeah.
And that's a mismatch right there. I mean, the speed, Jack Sanborn has absolutely no chance, and it's just a quick little out route. You're going to pick up a first down.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Gavin Dawson up on the tennis courts with Wolchuk, Chiafalo, and Brian Broaddus holding it down with three live mics, watching an extended team session here as it's the second consecutive padded practice. Three live mics brought to you by the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Guys, we're going to step aside and come back with more. That sound like a plan to you?
Sounds good.
Break, okay, and we're back here with Hour 2 in the Nation.